four questions that the sages sitting in the holy place of Namasharanya have asked that exalted personality, the son of Rama Hoshan, known as Suta Goswami. Now we will hear the fifth question, but only after reviewing the first, second, third, and fourth question. So who remembers any of those four questions? Yes, one question.
One?
Yep.
What is the essence of person? What is the ultimate absolute good for all living entities?
What is the ultimate absolute good for all living entities? What a compassionate question. Usually people are only asking questions, what is good for me? But what is to be thinking in terms of what is good for others? Second question, or one of the questions. Does anyone remember?
Yeah. What is the essence of all the literatures that Suta Goswami has studied?
What is the essence of the Shastra? Because the essence of the Shastra will reveal the greatest good. So if you remember, there was one question truly to those, one answer to those two questions. And the third question.
Why did Krishna come as a son of Vasudeva?
Yes. For what purpose did Krishna come? That question is intimately connected with the other questions, obviously. And the fourth question.
What are other incarnations of the Supreme?
Yes. Describe those incarnations, and as we described it, those incarnations that deal with the creation of the material world, the creation and maintenance of the material world. Those are the four questions, and there is an urgency in the atmosphere why the sages are asking. Because Kali Yuga is approaching, that iron age where people kill their own children. And they are so cunning, they make up a name for it and they call it something like abortion. Are you? Yes. So cunning, the people of Kali Yuga, because no one can do it. They need internal duplicity of mind to be able to kill their own children. So rather than thinking we have a clinic, a child killing clinic here, we'll call it an abortion clinic. Just duplicity of mind, cheating. This is the age of cheating. The iron age of quarrel. So knowing that this age was approaching, the sages, wishing the benefit of others, ask questions to Suta Goswami to find out what is to be done to benefit the poor people, because the amount of suffering that one can experience in Kali Yuga, mental suffering, spiritual suffering, is unequaled. So how to help these people who are doomed to suffer so much? The fifth question is asked in text 18. We spoke about this question yesterday. O wise Suta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures. It's so nice to think of the Lord's activities as adventures, because they are very exciting. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers. Because if He's the Supreme Controller, He needs nothing Then why does he act? Why does he have adventures? He owns everything. He's the supreme controller. So his activities are very mysterious. So please, tell us of these activities which go on by his internal potency. Antaranga Shakti. So that question, the answer to that question, comes in the third chapter of the Bhagavatam, where Sutta will list many, many different incarnations of the Lord. It also comes in the second canto and the seventh chapter of the Bhagavatam, where similarly many incarnations of the Lord are listed. And truly, throughout the Bhagavatam, practically speaking, the Bhagavatam is nothing but a description of the Lord, his incarnations, and the Lord and his incarnations dealings with all the devotees. This is Krishna Katha. Dealings of the Lord and his devotees, his incarnations. So, after asking this fifth question and the next to last question, the sages, they will ask their final question, comes out in text 23, the final text in this chapter. So, 18 is the fifth question and 23 is the final sixth question. So 19, 20, 21, 22, there are four verses in between. And these four verses are very sweet and very nice. Very sweet. They say, after asking about the incarnations of the Lord, so the last three questions are about Krishna. Tell us about Krishna. Tell us about the incarnations, how Krishna creates the material world. And tell us about the other incarnations, how Krishna descends within the material world. And then in text 19, why do you want to hear about Krishna, all these different activities of the Lord? And their answer is, we never tire of hearing. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationship with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. In other words, for one who is advanced, purified, advanced in Krishna consciousness, and who has a taste for the higher spiritual things, he's enjoying the Krishna Katha with a great thrill at every moment. He's experiencing it as ever fresh, ever new. One can read, an advanced person can read the Bhagavad Gita again and again and again. He could read the Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again and again and get newer and fresher realizations continuously. It is ever fresh. And one will be experiencing Krishna in this, continuously experiencing the different facets of Krishna. Completely different. This Krishna Katha is of a different caliber than mundane literature, which always has to be new, the old thrown out, something mundane. It has its limitation because it is dead. Actually, it is dead. So always the concept is out with the old, in with the new. Because the old has lost its taste. And therefore it is no longer satisfying to my heart, and I need something to give me some pleasure. So bring me something new, quick. Whatever is promised as new, people want to get it. Even though that new becomes old and stale so quickly, and we have not yet learned. Prabhupada in his purport includes Mayavad philosophy in the realm of the mundane, because the Mayavadis, they say that the highest truth is Brahman, but they cannot sit and meditate on Brahman because it is boring for them. There is no taste in it. So therefore, they will improperly take to the Bhagavatam and try to screw out an impersonal meaning from the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada has classified that as mundane too. This is actually so nice, the Sanskrit of this. Vayam tuna vitripyama utama shloka vikrame yakshvin vatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. Svadu svadu means, svadu means this is wonderful, relishing it, it is very tasty, it is palatable, pade pade at every step. This is why they want to hear, and all the questions that they are asking have to do with Krishna Katha. They want to hear more and more. Text 20. Especially, what do they want to hear about? Kritavan kilakamani saharamena keshava ati maryani bhagavan gudakapatamanusha. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like human beings. And so they masked, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. So this is the nature of the Bhagavatam and the purpose of the Bhagavatam. The first nine cantos are to purify us, to establish us in the ability to understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. And in the 10th canto, Krishna's specific pastimes are revealed. One must understand, be purified enough to understand the 10th canto by going through the first 9 cantos. So therefore, the Bhagavatam progressively reveals the personality of Godhead. And Krishna's activities, they are called Naralila. Naralila means that they are just like the activities of a human being, or rather, the human being's activities are reflections of Krishna's pastimes. But they are so wonderful. There are unlimited pastimes of Krishna, and each one of them is full of rasa, juice, nectarian juice of Krishna's dealing with his devotees. Krishna, the Supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead, that personality who is raso vaisa, he is the reservoir of all rasa. He is dealing with his devotees in such a way that the devotees experience the highest pleasure continuously by Krishna's dealings due to their loving relationship with him. They want to hear about this. Text 21. Now, why do they want to hear about this? Of course, for their own pleasure. But knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are therefore assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. Why do they want to perform sacrifice knowing that Kali has become? It is like when there is a great storm in the ocean. Kali Yuga is like a great, great, great storm in a unfathomably deep and vast ocean. So dangerous. And what is the best thing, or practically speaking, the only good thing that can happen to one when he's in the ocean? somehow or another, if he can get washed ashore. And that's what happens to people in Kali Yuga. They get tossed around by the waves of Kali and they suffer so much. A wave, sometimes some of them will cast them to safety. And then they just grab onto that land. Prabhupada explains in his purport. For self-realization, and this explains why the sages are so eager to hear Krishna Katha. For self-realization, the people in Satya Yuga, living a lifetime of 100,000 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dwapara Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, 100 years only, and that 100 years, minimum 50% not minimum, but sleeping, and the time that it's awake, there's so many difficulties, so much harassment by the mind, other living entities, the elements, the government, the this, the that. So how is it possible for one to achieve any self-realization in this iron age of Kali? So much disturbance in Kali Yuga. Everything we turn to for pleasure turns around and attacks us as a disturbance, and everyone's minds are so disturbed because of this. So therefore, with all these various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. The sages of Namasharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma. And he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment and self-realization. The glories of hearing the Bhagavatam are the glories of hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And this is the way to get out of Kali Yuga, to become washed up from the harsh tumult of the ocean of Kali. And then they say, the sages say to Suta Goswami, a very wonderful verse, Tvam na sandarshito datra dushkaram taram nishtitarshatam kalim satvaharam pumsam kanadara ivarnavan. Speaking to Suta Goswami, we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, by the grace of God. Just for what purpose? So that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali. And what is the effect of that ocean of Kali? It deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Mercy, gone, or going fast. Truthfulness, gone, or going fast. Cleanliness, gone, going fast. Austerity, gone. What is a compassion? What's another good quality of a human being? Charitableness. All good qualities. What's another good quality? Humility. What? Yeah. Humility. Memory. Everything. Rapidly deteriorating. Even physical health. Mental health. Deterioration. Rapid. Terror, actually, fear replaces everything good in Kali Yuga. And as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just gets worse and worse and worse and more degraded. Advancement and sophistication of weaponry, chemical warfare, biological warfare, terror. So therefore, when they're seeing a person like Suta Goswami who has the capacity to guide them out of this ocean, horrible ocean of Kali Yuga, they're so thankful, praising Suta Goswami and praising the Lord for putting them in contact with Suta Goswami. Prabhupada explains in the purport, learned man therefore must be cautious of this age. What does cautious mean? Careful. Very, very, very careful. It is the age of ignorance. So cautious. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Namasharanya. This is why they're sages. They're intelligent. They're wise. They're acting properly. And what do? They accept Sri Suta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain of the ship. And what is that ship? He guides the ship, but what is the ship? The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. The ship is Krishna himself in this form of his instructions. And then the final text in this chapter, which is the sixth and final question of the sages of Namasharanya. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, because Krishna had just left the planet, the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, Enjoyer, Creator, etc., the All-Powerful One, he has visited the Earth planet. And when he left, he has departed for his own abode. He has left and gone back to Goloka Vrindavan. Where is our shelter? Please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter, because Krishna is the source and the shelter of all religion and dharma, religion, dharma, knowledge, goodness, everything. Where are these things now? We want these things. But when Krishna leaves, it is like the setting of the sun. All light also disappears from the planet. And it begins to get very cold in addition to dark. So when Krishna, the Krishna sun, disappears from this world, Where does goodness go? Where does the Dharma go? Where does knowledge go? This is their question. Now, the answer to the sage's fifth question, we will not discuss right now. We will discuss that not next week, but the following week. That is written in the third chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. The second chapter is a very wonderful chapter, and we'll discuss that next week. We've already discussed yesterday, we discussed some of the end of the second chapter. But now, in the third chapter, which we will not discuss, the incarnations of the Lord are described. Now, right after the incarnations of the Lord are described, there are some wonderful segments beginning with text. We'll begin with text 29, and we will quickly go through those segments until the actual part, which are leading up to the answer to this sixth question. The sixth question is answered in text 43. This is the answer to the sixth question of the third chapter. So in leading up to that answer, we will now hear the words of Srila Sutta Goswami in his reply. So he's just now up to from the end of the second chapter till text 28 of the third chapter, he's described about the incarnations of the Lord. And again, we will speak about this on the week following. And what I would like everyone to do, by the way, or as many devotees as possible, to pick one of the incarnations. Look ahead. We've written this down. I would like everyone to pick any incarnation they want, except you can't pick anyone you want. You have to pick the one I want. But the one I want you to pick is the one you want to pick. So everyone has to pick an incarnation and say 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes. Either tell some of the story, tell from the Bhagavatam, tell some pastime, or just say something, but not just something, but something that you appreciate about that incarnation, a pastime, or tell the whole story, or the essence, or something. No one shall escape on that day, on those 2 days. So you can start thinking about it now. So that is what Krishna speaks of, or Sutta Goswami speaks about, the incarnations of the Lord. And of course, these are throughout the Bhagavatam. So in text 29, Sutta says, "Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord..." Why are the Lord's appearance mysterious? Because they are, again, the Lord is not under control of anyone. He comes and does things and acts in a particular way that are simply a manifestation of his own free will. And yet, they are often quite similar to the activities of humans. Therefore, it is very mysterious why he acts the way he does and what he does. There are deep meanings attached to everything. So one who recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. Now, from text 30 to 34, the topic switches slightly. Not slightly, but it switches. So in text 30, Sutta Goswami describes the Virata Rupa, which Rupa means form, and Virat means the universe. Sometimes Virat Rupa is called Vishwarupa. Same meaning. So, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, the Lord's universal form is described. So the Lord has so many different forms that He comes in incarnations, and also He has a universal form. So are these equal? The universal form is material. Does that mean that the Lord has material forms? And the answer is no. So this Visvarupa, or the universal form of the Lord, which will be described in the second canto and the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami describes that this form is not the same as the Lord's other forms, because the Lord actually has no material form at all. It is sort of an imposition upon the Lord. It is not actually His form. His forms are completely spiritual. Now, taking that point, in the remaining verses in this section, 31, 32, 33, 34, Sutta Goswami makes a parallel in that. And he describes how the Lord is fully spiritual, and actually He has no material form. He explains, the living entity is spiritual, is a soul, and he similarly is not his body. There is actually no connection between the soul and the body. So this is a parallel statement. That is, the Lord has no material form because He's spiritual, even though He is the Supreme. We are Anu, we are tiny, but we are spiritual. And we similarly have no material form whatsoever. So therefore, he says in text 31, similarly, the souls, they implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. The soul carries the material body, but it is not the material body. And the example given is as dust being carried by air. We say the air is dirty, but actually the air is not dirty or dusty. Actually, there are two completely different things. There is air and there is dust. The air is never dusty. The air is carrying dust. So similarly, there is no connection between the soul and the body. But what is it that makes the living entity think that he is his body? It is simply illusion enacted by the Maya Shakti of the Lord. This will be explained in the second canto, throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Everywhere this is explained. So in text 33, it describes when we can separate, there's an artificial combination due to the illusory energy, due to Maya, of the soul and the body. When we can separate the soul and the body, then not only do we actually see ourselves, but we also see the Lord. Because that means we are free from Maya, and one in Maya cannot see the Lord. So therefore, in text 34, if the illusory energy subsides, if this illusion can be broken and the living entity becomes fully enriched by knowledge, positive knowledge, out of illusion, ignorance finished, real knowledge coming, then if he gets that knowledge by Krishna's grace, then what happens? He becomes at once enlightened with self-realization. And then he becomes situated in his own glory as a soul, as a servant of Krishna. To be situated in our own natural constitutional glory in relationship with Krishna, eternal life, bliss, knowledge, What is stopping us? It is illusion. So therefore, naturally, what do we want? We want to get out of illusion. How can we get out of illusion? How can we get out of illusion? To get out of illusion, text 35 explains, learned men thus describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive. Is that mysterious? They describe the birth and activities of he who has no birth and he who has no activities. They describe something. They are learned. They are learned in what? Learned means learned in Shastra. And they describe that which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. Because it is very difficult to understand Krishna. But the sages, this is why they are learned, because they are wise, they are sadhus, because they do understand. He is the Lord of the heart. So this next section, after describing the illusion of the living entity and hinting at the process of getting out of that illusion, they describe the glories of the Lord. Then, this section up to text 39 describes those glories of Krishna. The nature of that person, the characteristics of that person. He truly has glories. What are his glories? The Lord, whose activities are always spotless. That means his activities, the Sanskrit is amogalila. They are free from all fault. They are perfect. Regardless of what he does, he is perfect. Regardless of the externals of what he does, they are perfect. He is the master of the six senses. He is fully omnipotent. He has six opulences. He creates, maintains and annihilates the universes. And he's not even the slightest bit affected by this. He is within every living being. And yet, he has nothing to do. He is always independent. This is glorious. This hints at his power. But the foolish, with a poor fund of knowledge, they cannot know the transcendental nature of the Lord's forms, names, pastimes. Because when he acts, he is like an actor in a drama who is doing something, but his real identity is unknowable to the people who are watching. And these people are called foolish. So who can know the glories of this glorious personality? Text 38. Only those who render unreserved, these are important words, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, that in and of itself is wonderful. And we'll hear about that in text 9. In chapter 9. Only one who has this quality of devotional service can actually know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. And then in text 39, Suta Goswami praises the questions of the sages, because these questions are so powerful. Because they lead to Krishna Katha. They invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they save one. They guarantee cent percent immunity. The questions are glorious. They guarantee immunity from what? Birth and death. So this is the prelude, the preliminary prelude to the answer of the question. That to get out of illusion, we have to know something about the glories of the Lord. And He is truly glorious, like no one is glorious in this world. And if anyone is glorious in this world, their glory just springs from, they just possess a gift of a drop, a part of a drop of Krishna's glories. Krishna really is glorious. Confirmed by the sneeze, by the window. We always keep the window open for that reason, so we get sneezes at appropriate times. Therefore, how can we learn of this glorious Lord, who is so glorious, unlimitedly glorious, so we can become free from illusion and remove the threat, the ominous threat of birth and death? How can we remove this illusion? Text 40. Utam shloka charitam chakara bhagavan rishi nisreyasya lokasya danyam svastiayanam mahat. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. There are selected histories of great devotees who are in direct contact with the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna and is therefore none different from him. Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Thereby, by doing so, in other words, we can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord through its careful and patient study. As God is all light, all bliss, and all perfection, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. We can have all the transcendental light of the Supreme Brahman, Sri Krishna, from the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, provided it is received through the medium of a transparent spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada so kindly gives us the transparency that we can perceive Krishna directly through the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's private secretary, Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami, advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord at Puri to make a study of the Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam is the self-realized bona fide spiritual master, and through him only one can understand the lessons of the Bhagavatam in order to receive the desired result. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. It carries with it all the transcendental blessings of Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from his personal contact. So how do we get that Bhagavatam? Text 41 and 42. Srila Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, and we'll hear about that in several weeks. And he was expert at extracting the cream of the Vedic literatures and history, the Puranas, the histories of the universe. So he gave it to his son, Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, delivered it to the, delivered the Bhagavatam to the great Emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganga, awaiting death without taking any food or water. And then text 43, which is directly the answer, or rather we'll go to first to 44, and Kosuta Goswami says, when Sukadeva Goswami recited the Bhagavatam in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention, and thus by his mercy I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. Now text 43. Krishne svadam upagate. Everyone please repeat. Krishne svadam upagate dharma janadibhi saha. kalo nastadrisham mesha poranako dunoditaha. So Krishna swadham upagate means that Krishna swadham upagate. Upagate means he has gone back, he has returned to swadham, to his own abode. Because the question was, sixth question was, where have religious principles taken shelter after Krishna has left? So Krishna has left and gone back to his own abode, and with him, Dharma Gyanadevi Saha. He has taken with him all religion, all knowledge. So the world is dark and Kali is descending. But in this age of Kali, Kalo, in this age of Kali, Nastadrisham Esha, that people in this age of Kali, they will get Drisha, they will be able to see. How? Puranarko. Purana means, what does Purana mean? This Purana, or the whole, the complete, Arka means the sun. Duna Uditaha. Uditaha means has arisen. Aduna, just now, the sun of the Bhagavatam arises and dispels the darkness of Kali Yuga, and people who are blinded because all knowledge and religion has left, when Krishna has left, they can get light from this Purana. Prabhupada's translation. The Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, adibi, etc. Everything good leaves. But persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. In the middle of Prabhupada's purport, he says, in Kali Yuga, the population is just the royal addition of the animals. Who has the audacity to say that? Well, everyone but Prabhupada. Everyone else says, oh, we are making so much progress. We are making progress. We're advancing. We're advancing. And Prabhupada says, yes, to animal life, simply. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. They are so blind that they cannot see anything beyond the jurisdiction of the subtle mind, intelligence, or ego, but they are very much proud of their advancement in knowledge, science, and material prosperity. They can risk their lives to become a dog or a hog just after leaving the present body, for they have completely lost sight of the ultimate aim of life. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared before us just a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga, and he returned to his eternal home practically at the commencement of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by his different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specifically and eradicated all pretentious principles of religiosity. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Srila Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we hear about that when we study chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7. And thus, both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people in this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life, Lord Sri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. And in the final verse of this chapter, where Sutta Goswami describes how he himself heard the Bhagavatam from Sukadev, when Sukadev was explaining to Maharaj Prakrit, Prabhupada says it in his purport, something very wonderful and something reassuring. Sukadev Goswami presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father. Who was his great father? Srila Vyasadeva. And so also Sutta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as has he heard it from Sukadev Goswami. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Navishta means that Sutta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna. At once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention, because Sutta Goswami have said that I heard Sukadev with rapt attention. So the secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or another, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, despite all of our discrepancies, if we can just concentrate our mind somehow or another, even at the beginning, on the Bhagavatam, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person on the pages of the Bhagavatam. Just if we can hear. Therefore, it is clear why Prabhupada was so interested in book distribution, because he was distributing Krishna. And if someone would just hear, read, then they would experience Krishna. Shockingly so. In a small dose or a big dose, experience Krishna. So we have completed to some degree, to a small degree, pointing out the questions of the six sages and where they are answered, and have explained something of the answers, and we will continue next week with chapter 2 and how the sutta begins speaking and answering the questions in order, and how he describes the progression of spiritual life. How wonderful. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
What's the connection of Narayana and Rishi to
the... That's from the next chapter. That gives me time to try to figure out what is the answer to this question. We don't begin the next chapter until next week, Prabhu. But Narayan Rishi is Krishna and Arjuna. next week. I'll try. I'll have some time to think. I don't know offhand. Such deep questions. Yes.
In this chapter, text 12, Krishna is worth asking the third question, which is referred to as Satyatantati.
Yeah. Yeah, what does Satpatampati mean? Yeah. So that will also be described in the second chapter, but that has relationship to everything. In to understand Krishna's dealings with his devotees, we see that continuously. And also, in addition to that, There is no inspiration to take shelter of Krishna unless he has the capacity to protect one who takes shelter of him. So the foremost quality of someone in Kali Yuga is they are in distress and difficulty, and they are looking for their shelter. There's one verse in the second chapter that uses that Bhagavan Satatam Pati. Tasmade Kena Manaso. With one fixedness of mind, one pointedness of mind, Bhagavan Satatam Pati, one should focus that with fixedness of mind upon that Lord, because that means that we're giving up our own capacity of thinking that I'm going to take care of myself and focusing my mind solely on Him. And then Shrotavyas, we should hear about Him. Shrotavyas kirt, and glorify Him. Kirtitavyas cha. Deyas pujas. We should meditate on Him and worship Him. Chanityada. Continuously, always. So unless one understands that he's the protector of his devotee, who will become his devotee? Last question.
Could you explain a little bit how the Sarangi is how the being is?
How it is or why it is? It's the universe rotates around Namasharanya, the center of the universe. Now, I can't explain very much more than that, but I can explain why we offer obeisances to Narayan Rishi. What is Narayan Rishi's? What is the specific thing he is so famous for?
Austerities.
But even more than his austerities, what is he famous for? They came to him. They wanted to entice him to fall down on the pushing of Indradev, I think. So they wanted to have everyone to him to fall down. So many beautiful women came to him to entice him. So he, for him it was nothing. He showed that so many, they were all beautiful creatures were coming from his body, his own body. Now do you know why we take shelter and offer obeisances to Narayan Rishi? You think about it. It is in there. Question?
Yeah.
But if we want to recite the Bhagavatam and make advancement in spiritual life, we need this kind of protection by His mercy. Yeah.
Does Kali Yuga affect all of the universe, or is it mainly like this is planet?
Yeah, the yugas affect everywhere in the universe. But not in the way. Just like when there's a, I think in the earth planet. there's a mixture of suffering and enjoyment. And when there's that mixture, then one experiences suffering, even to a greater degree. When one is always suffering, you're used to always suffering. And if one is never suffering, a little suffering is, I mean, a little coming down in your pleasure is not so bad. Just like if you have hundreds of billions of dollars and you lose 90% of it, you'll have plenty of money left. And if you have nothing, and if you lose 90% of it, there's no big difference. But if sometimes you're rich and sometimes you're poor and sometimes you're rich and sometimes you're poor, when there's a dominance of the poor part, it's very, very painful. Most painful. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Narayan Rishi ki jai, also Namasharanya ki jai.